Ed's got a look of apprehension on his face because he doesn't know what I'm going to say.
No, I don't.
So, anyway, I'm back, but I didn't get back soon enough to where I felt comfortable preaching this morning. So, Brother Ed's going to come and preach. I'd already asked him to be ready for 2 weeks anyway because I wasn't sure when I was going to get back. But come on up, Ed, and share with us. And this is my mentor, by the way. So he's had a huge impact in my life, and I really appreciate him. And it's good
Thank
to have friends.
Later. Thank you, brother.
Good to have friends in a high place.
You've had an impact in my life, too. I wanted to know that. A good impact. Wow, you're sitting right here. Okay, here we go. It's no news flash if I tell you life is full of frustrations. Amen? The longer I live. I used to think if I could just get all my ducks in a row, if I could just buy this, or if I could get that, or if I'd get this degree, or whatever. I've come to find out, now that I'm 80, that you never get those ducks all in a row. God doesn't want it that way, because he wants us to depend on him. Just this morning, getting ready to come here, I asked Ellie, she's over at our church because she has responsibility. I said, why don't you take the truck and I'll take the car, because I have a lot further to drive than you do. So I got ready, and I knew I'd need at least a half hour, and I got ready to go, and I couldn't find my cell phone. Poof, it was gone. I had it there. I did my devotions on it this morning. It was gone. And I looked until I couldn't look anymore. The time was getting close. So I went to set the alarm, and a big yellow triangle come up on the alarm box. I thought, okay, now that thing's going to blow up, you know. So I set the alarm anyway, got it already, got outside, got near the garage, and I realized I hadn't shaved. Now, I went to a social event with the pastor and Debbie and other retired pastors last night, and I forgot to shave then. So I knew I had to before I come over here, you know. So I had to go back in, turn off the alarm, shave, come back out. I got down there. I got in the garage, and Ellie took the car, not the truck. Now, when I get home, I'm going to really tell her a thing or two. So what's your problem this morning? Other than me preaching to you, what's your frustration? What? Do you need more patience?
Amen.
You have doubt? Are you lonely? Have you lost hope? Have you lost strength? How about your health? I identify with Brother Dick. I'm kind of dizzy. I have a little thing in my neck going on. I finally went to a new neurologist. I said, come on now. I want to find out what's going on. So she started giving me medication to treat the symptoms. I said, I don't want to treat the symptoms. I want to find out what's going on. And she said, I kind of irritated her, I guess. She said, you want a diagnosis? I'll give you a diagnosis. You're old. There it is. Do you lack finances this morning? Is that one of your problems? Yeah, everybody does. We ask not because we get not because we ask not, the Bible says. You remember the great radio commentator, Paul Harvey. He would always tell the story. This little boy went to the market with his mother. They got to the door. She put him in the basket and in his seat and said, now, when we go in here, don't ask for chocolate chip cookies because you're not getting them. So they went in the store, went around, and they come to the chocolate chip cookie area and the cookies. He stood up in his little seat, and he says, I want some chocolate chip cookies. She said, I told you not to say that. Now sit down. And she went on around the store. There was one item she needed. She couldn't find it. Inadvertently got back to the cookie section. He stood up again and said, I want some chocolate chip cookies. She said, slammed him down his seat. That does it. We're leaving. She got to the checkout line, and he saw his chance to get the cookies slipping away. So he stood up in his seat, and he said, in the name of Jesus, I want some chocolate chip cookies. The crowd laughed, and they applauded him. And Paul Harvey tells the rest of the story. You know how he did? When that little boy got to the car, he had 23 packages of chocolate chip cookies. We have not because we ask not. I want to preach a sermon this morning I call God's Provision and Purpose. Philippians 4:19 has already been read. It says, God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. That's a great promise. But we forget, when God supplies us with something, salvation, everything we have, he wants a response. There's a purpose connected with that. Or he'd just take us on to heaven, we that are born again. The central truth of this message, his purpose always, his provision always has a purpose. Bible's full of stories that God provided for the men and women in the Bible, but there was a purpose connected to it. Abraham provided a sacrifice instead of his son because they wanted to start a nation through Abraham. Manna for the children of Israel. Jesus feeding the 5,000. Paul on his missionary journeys. All of those stories, there was a purpose for God providing for those men and women in the Bible. Turn to Kings, 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. I'm going to read the whole story here. It's an amazing story of God's provision with purpose. Let's remember that part of it. 1 Kings 17, 1 through 16, and I'll read that as we all... When you read, ask God to reveal to you the truth he wants you to get out of it. And always be willing to obey. If we're willing to obey what the Bible says, God's going to reveal truth to us. And there's some lessons in this story. Now Elijah, the Tishbite, from the Gilead settlers, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, I stand before him, and there will be no dew or rain during these years except by my command. Then a revelation from the Lord came to him, leave here, turn eastward, and hide yourself in the Wadi Shirith, where it enters the Jordan. You are to drink from the Wadi. I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. So he did what the Lord commanded. Elijah left and lived by the Wadi Shirith, which enters the Jordan. The ravens kept bringing him bread and meat in the morning and in the evening. And he drank from the Wadi. And after a while, the Wadi dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, get up, go to Zarephath that belongs to Sidon and stay there. Look, I have commanded a woman who is a widow to provide for you there. So Elijah got up and went to Zarephath. When he arrived at the city gate, there was a woman gathering wood. Elijah called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup and let me drink. And as she went to get it, he called again and said to her, please bring me a piece of bread that I might eat. But she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have any bread, nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar. And I'm gathering a couple of sticks in order to prepare for myself and my son so that we can eat and then die. Then Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go and do as I have said to you. Only make me a small loaf from it and bring it out to me. Afterwards, you may make some for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord God of Israel says. The flour jar will not become empty. The oil jug will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the surface of the land. So she prepared to do according to the word of Elijah. She and he and her household ate for many days. The flour jar did not become empty. The oil jug did not run dry. According to the word of the Lord, he had spoken through Elijah. What an amazing story. There's so many truths here. I have 4 points I want to make this morning. The first one is a point I want to make to us. When we serve the Lord and he provides for us and we find a purpose, the first thing is we must be willing to leave our comfort zone. That's what the church in this country needs to get through. We need to be willing to leave our comfort zone. Elijah had to leave his comfort zone. Elijah was comfortable. He was there on the creek in a canyon on the east side of the Jordan, about halfway between Lake Galilee and the Salton Sea. And he was protected there. He's probably under a tree in the shade. The ravens were providing for him food and water and bread. It was all there. And he was comfortable. And it said, God said in verse 9, go to Zarephath. Go to Zarephath. He dried up the wadi because he knew Elijah would not want to leave that comfortable place. It's like the 1881 principle. You know what that is? In Acts 1:8, God said, scatter, go and preach my word. In 8:1, they would not scatter, so he scattered them through persecution. 1881 principle. So he dried up the wadi to get Elijah to get going. Obeying God is sometimes uncomfortable. Elijah had to leave his comfort zone. I remember going to the streets of Phnom Penh in Cambodia. I'd never been in Southeast Asia. I'd never been really out of our country. And my culture was Southern California. And that was what I was used to. And I got in the streets and I got in the hotel. I really didn't see anything. The next morning, we got up to go. We had a big van. We had a whole team of people. And they all filled the van and there wasn't room for little Ed. They said, well, he's little. He can ride on a 50cc motorbike. So I got his motorbike and headed across Phnom Penh. People in the street. I said, Lord, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? I had to leave my comfort zone. A little later on, we were going to teach about 60 pastors out in the country in the jungle. And we're driving, and all of a sudden, the driver took a left turn. I said, where are you going? We're supposed to go this way. He said, if we go there, we'll be arrested. I said, Lord, what am I doing here? But he asked me to go. I had to leave my comfort zone. Abraham left his home in Ur of the Chaldees. Paul left the warmth and comfort of the Antioch church. Jesus left the splendor of heaven for the dirty stable in Bethlehem. The scriptures are full of God's people that followed him, leaving their comfort zone. Obeying God is not easy. Sometimes we must set aside our sense of logic. Jesus said, someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn your left cheek. What? Someone wants your shirt, give him your coat. Someone forced you to go a mile, go the second mile. Lord, are you serious? We must exercise our faith if we're going to follow the Lord Jesus. Obeying the Lord is necessary. Obeying God's works. Nothing else will work except obeying God for the Christian. The American church, listen to me, needs to put down the remote control. We need to watch the reality shows and look at the reality of people dying all around us and going to hell. The next thing is hard for me to say. Men, I don't know if I can form this on my lips, Brother Mike. Men, Lord help me. I can't hardly say this. You need to stop watching Monday Night Football and be ready to go out and minister to people. Amen? Amen. Men, go like this, men. What happened if the Super Bowl is just starting and someone calls you and says, I have a need. I'll be there in 2 hours. People, we need to be ready to put down and willing. Now, God may not require it of you, but we need to be willing to leave our comfort zones. Secondly, look at the scripture here. We must get past our fear. It's scary to go to the neighbor across the fence or go to a park in Mandalay where the people are and just walk up and start telling them about Jesus through an interpreter. That is frightening. Elijah had to get past his fear. God, have you forgot about Jezebel? There is a mean lady. She's meaner than a junkyard dog. She's the equivalent of Attila the Hun with his hair on fire. I mean, we're talking about a lady that would torture you and cut you into pieces. God, she is after me. Have you forgot about Jezebel? From Cherith to Zarephath. Zarephath is, the word means smelting pot. God wanted to melt down Elijah and get him in a position where he could use him. Home of Jezebel, heart of Baal worship, 90 hostile miles from where he was there in the shade tree by the creek to Zarephath was 90 miles. Search parties are down. Chapter 18 said she was searching all the nations She was trying to find him. There was a drought in the land. My little granddaughter, when she was about 3 or 4, one time I told her something that scared her. She said, "That's scary. That's really scary, people, when we go in God's name. We have to get past our fear." It's like the little boy in the storm in the Middle East, Middle West, really. Terrible electrical storms. How many of you have been in those? I went to Texas and we went to school. The middle of the night, the first night we were there, thunder went right over the house. All four of us was in our bed sitting up. Said, "What was that?" This little boy was getting tucked in by his mother. And she said the prayers and she tucked him in. He said, "Mama, I want to sleep with you tonight." She said, "No, you can't sleep with me. You know that. Just, it'll be okay." She tucked him in. She got to, before he got to the door, and he said again, "Please, please sleep with me, Mama. Or let me sleep with you." She said, "Don't be silly. I have to sleep with your daddy." So she sort of shut the door, turned out the lights. She heard him whisper, "The big sissy." I love that story. I'm told it's a true story. I don't know. What's your fear this morning? Every one of us has them. God knew three things about Elijah. Now listen closely. He knew where he was. He knew where he was going. And he knew what would happen when he got there. Listen, God didn't say, "Whew, I didn't see that coming." He knows it all. He's ahead of us. He created all. He created you. He saved you. He put you in. He knows it all. God knows three things about us. Oh, I don't know how much time I want to take here. When I was called into the ministry, I was working at the post office. I had a good job. I went out in the ocean and fished all the time. And my dad was killed suddenly as a young man of 52 in an auto accident. Oh, I was mad at God. It was the hardest thing I ever went through. I had to go and identify him at the hospital. After we settled the funeral, everything, I went away. I got in my boat. I went out to the Pyramid Lake. It was Pyramid Cove on, not Anacapa, the other island out there. I can't remember right now. Anyway, I was there in the evening and running from God. And I had eaten some fish and bolted everything down. It was foggy. And middle of the night, the little breeze came up, blew the fog away. A flap was loose and it was tapping on the hull. And I woke up. I went outside. I looked up and I saw stars like that. I lay down on my back, just looked up into the heavens, and God spoke to me. He said, "What are you doing here? I have a ministry for you." And he called me into the ministry that day. I went back and resigned my position at the church and the post office and the whole thing. I went off to college. But then I got to thinking, I can't do that. My dad had just died, and my mother was having a terrible time. She'd call me at 2 or 3 in the morning. I'd have to go down and sit with her. She knew him since she was a child. She'd just having a terrible time. Houses wasn't selling. How could I sell my house? You know, had a little daughter about 4 years old. She wouldn't talk. Completely silent. She would not speak a word. Sometimes to her mother. We were really worried about it. I said, "God, I can't go because of these reasons. You hang on these reasons. I'm gonna deal with them in a little bit." Thirdly, we must lose our pride. Watch out now. Watch it. That's the most subtle thing. We all have some. We need to identify it. God hates pride. Pride comes before destruction, the Bible says. When pride comes, disgrace follows. Someone said, "Pride is the only disease that makes everyone sick but the person that has it." You don't like to be around a prideful, arrogant person? Are you prideful and arrogant? James 4:10 says, "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and in due time he will raise you up." This thing of humility, if you think you've got it, you just lost it. Humility comes from relentlessly seeking God and reading his word and being with God. That's where it comes like stealth from underneath. You don't know it's there. If someone goes to a humble person and says, "You're sure a humble person," they would deny it. Me? But humility is what God demands of us. He hates pride. We need to get a hold of that. Elijah needed the widow. The widow needed Elijah. Today, we need each other. We must be willing to give and to receive. Now listen to the profound statement. I don't know where I got it. I didn't come up with it, but it's profound. When we give, we overcome our greed. Listen to this one. When we receive, we overcome our pride. You ever have a need and someone supplied and you think, whoa, you know, we need to overcome our pride and receive it by the grace of God. We will be blessed when we don't care who gets the credit. Let's say you work on, pastor asks you to do something, you got a committee together, you worked half the year, you did a good job, you got it all done. The next business meeting, someone else stood up and took credit for it. What would you do? Say, well, the king will serve. We did a job. I did what the pastor asked. Go on about your business. Or you say, wait a minute, hold it. I did that. What is that about us that once we're going to build ourselves up? But in so doing, we put ourselves down in the eyes of others. A humble person, people love to be around. A person that's humble has many friends. A prideful person, you push them away. You'd be talking and someone just dominates the conversation and you try to say a word and they're already planning what they're going to say next. It's all self-centered stuff. God hates pride. We need to bow before the Lord and ask Him to reveal to us where we have pride. Finally, my last point. We must step out in faith. Up till this time, he was willing to leave his comfort zone. He's getting rid of his fear and his pride. He hadn't done anything yet. Christianity is a belief of action. We're going to just sit around. God's not going to anoint a lazy Christian. I felt His power in my life. The further I get out of my comfort zone, the further I've gone around the world. Brother Mike knows this. He's been around. God comes to us the strongest, the further we get out there. I see more miracles. I've actually seen miracles. I could spend a lot of time right now telling you miracles I've seen, particularly in Southeast Asia, that just astound you. But it was when I got out there out of my comfort zone. We need to step out. Elijah stepped out in faith. God said, it said he got up and went to Zarephath. His journey began with the first step. He had to take action. Moses stretched out his hand. Peter stepped out of the boat. Paul preached to the Gentiles. All the examples we need. God provided for Elijah's needs. He said, today I have commanded the widow. God went ahead of Elijah. He never asked you to do anything, but when he's ahead of you, he's preparing the way. You can have confidence in that. He prepared the unusual. His preparation was thorough. The oil never ran out. The bread never ran out. I've seen that happen. In the book of Haggai, the people didn't want to build a temple because they were building their own houses. He said, examine your ways. If you neglect my temple, the grapes will fall off of the vine prematurely. The animals get diseased and die and all that stuff. I've seen it happen. When Ellie and I have been faithful with our tithes and offerings, the washer and dryer lasts longer. It happens. Yep. Are you one that puts a $5 bill in the plate occasionally, or a $10 bill, or even $20? Read your scripture. God talks more about our giving than He does faith and love and all of it. Because He knows where our wallet is, that's where our heart's going to be. You're building here. I commend you in your work and your saving. You're halfway to your goal. But if everybody tithed and everybody gave sacrificially, we'd get this building built. And I'm talking to good people. And the pastor didn't ask me to say this.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll tell you, I'll say more about that in a minute. God's timing was just right. He asks you to do something, the timing's right. He'll give you a divine appointment. It'll work. Step out in faith. God will protect and provide for us. You remember I said the three excuses I had? Our home wouldn't sell. The Sunday, we put it in a paper on a Friday. Sunday afternoon, a lady comes, sat down at the table with us, wrote out a check for cash for a home. We had $10,000 in cash before I knew what happened. Went all the way to Hardin Simmons in Texas and all of my education, it almost to the penny. When we got through, we were broke, but we didn't owe our education. God took care of it. Then I said, you know, my mother, I can't leave her. Well, Gene Baxley came along, one of the kindest, nicest, most gentle men I've ever met. And he loved my mother. They got married. He took care of her. Then I got to Texas. Whoo, was that an experience? Got to Abilene, Texas, by Hardin Simmons University. All the students at the university were going to all the churches way out there and getting jobs, trying to make their way through college. There was a church right by the college. It's an old big barn kind of a place, and I went over there, and this little VW bug was in the parking lot, and I knocked on the door, nothing happened, the back door, as it turned out, and I walked in, it was a big hallway, it was dark, a spooky place. I'm walking down this aisle, and I go down, and I come into the auditorium from the back, and I said, anybody here? And I heard a voice way down front say, yeah, brother, come on down. So I went down this aisle, went to this little room, and this pastor, Clayton Pennington was his name, bless his heart, the greatest man, he was on his knees, he was just getting up, big tears running down his face. He said, what can I do for you? I said, I'm in California, I have a family here, I want to get a job in a church. And he said, praise the Lord, you're our new youth director. Just like that. I said, don't you have to ask the company? No, they do what I say. That's the way they do it in Texas, folks. But I became minister of youth, music, and education in that church. In the parking lot was a three-bedroom home. I had put my family in a little shack that the seminary, the college had, and the students made money by painting it. The windows were painted shut. I had to take a hammer to get the windows open. It was a terrible experience. Well, I got to move them in this air-conditioned three-bedroom home in the parking lot. Now, I haven't forgot about the excuse that my little daughter wasn't talking. Right across the parking lot was a house. Mrs. Wilson lived there. She was about 4'9". Her whole ministry was taking care of children. We took her little daughter, but she said, I can't take her. I'm full. I can't take her. That evening she called and said, unexpectedly, they're moving out of town. I have a space. So we took her there. Her whole ministry was caring for children. She loved our little daughter, and she got her to talking. And she began to talk, and I said, praise God, he took care of all my excuses. Only problem is now I can't get my daughter to quit talking. My goodness. I'm just telling you, guys, there's no way that you can go out there that God isn't going to be with you. He's going to protect you with his mighty right arm. It's just up to us. If you knew what God wanted you to do and that you could do through his power, you'd fall down in a faint. Amazing what God wants you to do. But God's there with you. It was like this missionary in China in the middle of Second World War. It's a terrible time. The Japanese were coming into China just slaughtering people. I read a story, terrible, 92,000 people in a city, and they just brought them out and massacred them, raped the women, violated them. It's a terrible time. And Miss Allred ran an orphanage. And she gathered all of her children, and they ran up this canyon trying to get away from the Japanese. This is a true story, and I'm not kidding. This is a true story. And she got up the canyon, and she got as far as she could go. She was hurting children. Finally, she fell down and skinned her knees. She just fell down and gave up. Said, I can't go any further. I've had it. We're defeated. They're going to catch us. And a little girl crawled over to her with her big, round, bright eyes and her little faith of a child. And she said, you taught us about Moses going across the desert, how God provided manna and water and quail. She said, she'll do it now. He'll do it now for us. She said, youngster, thank you, but I'm not Moses. Little girl looked at her and said, yeah, but God's still God. Whatever God asks you to do, he's the same God that created the world. He's the same God that sent his son to die for you. He's that God. That God's here with us today, and His Spirit empowers. Jesus said, you're going to do more than I do because you're going to have the Spirit indwelling you. There's such a powerhouse within you if we could just tap it. The way we tap it is through obedience. Two, three thoughts from Pastor Ed, okay? Never underestimate what God can do through ordinary people with limited resources when they are given everything to Him in faith. A group of ordinary people bound together by faith in Jesus Christ, armed with God's holy word, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is the most powerful force this world's ever known. It is my prayer that this community will say of this church in the future, here come those Christians. They're turning my world upside down. You've got enough power right here to shake this community. You're faithful. But what more do God want you to do? Are you following this pastor like you ought to? Are you praying for your pastor like you ought to? Get out of your comfort zone. Yeah, turn off Monday Night Football if you have to. Get rid of your fear and your pride. What does God want you to do? I've been going all around the world. He's probably not asking you to go all around the world. But your neighbor, the person at the service station, the hungry person, what's He asking you to do? Bow your heads in prayer, please. Thank you, Father. Such a wonderful Bible story of Elijah and how You provided for his needs, but it had a purpose. Elijah had a great ministry, but he had to be willing to leave his comfort zone. Bless this church, this pastor and Debbie and the deacons and all the leaders, all the people. Help them to come together and get this building built and reach out to this community and impact them even more than they are now. So bless us, Lord, in this time of commitment, time of decision. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As our sister comes and plays some music, I just want you to think with it. Don't think about anybody else. Think yourself. What's God asking of you? You're a born-again believer. You're called. It says that all the way through Scripture. You have a holy calling. What is it He wants you to do? I don't know. Only You know. Be faithful. Bow your heads. As she plays, just do business with God. Push all the other thoughts out and focus on Him right at this moment. Say, God, help me. Help me have the faith. Get rid of my doubts. Help me to be strong this coming year. Take a few minutes to contemplate that. These people, this pastor, help them to step out. Help them to do, even though they're faithful, help them to be more faithful. Help them to get the job done. Thank You for the privilege of bringing the word this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I really appreciate that, Ed. I especially appreciate it. Get up here every week and it's just good sometimes. It's kind of rare for my wife and I to sit in a church service together and just Learn something, hear something. You know, you get so busy giving out, which I love to do, but, you know, there's a time when you need. And so thank you, Ed, for that. Appreciate that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we ask your blessing on this offering. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for the great gift you gave us. And Father, help us to be faithful and obedient to your word in this very important area. Father God, bless the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.